This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Hello, I'm here with Dr. Ian McDonald for the Ask an Astronomer questions, and we have three questions this month. So the first question says, it occurred to me, from our point of view, the observable universe is between 13 and 14 billion years old. Could it in fact be much older, but we just can't see it? This is from Paul Walsh.
Well, in a word, no. We know quite accurately how old the universe is by how fast galaxies are expanding away from each other, but we don't actually know how big it is. Now, if you imagine the universe as a crowd at a big event like a football match or the Paul Weller concert at Jodrell Bank, where each spectator is an entire galaxy. Now, the moment that the event stops, everyone rushes out to their cars, keen to beat the rest of the traffic away. Now, that's our Big Bang. Once we're on the road, all the traffic begins to spread out in all directions. Each driver can only see a small number of cars he was at the match or the concert with. Now, the others are beyond his horizon, and that's true of the universe, too. Most of the universe, and we don't know how much, lies beyond our observable horizon. That's the cosmic microwave background. There are plenty of other galaxies in the unobservable part of the universe that we will never know exist. Now, in our scenario, each car is travelling at a different speed and in a different direction, so they're all moving away from each other, getting more and more distant from all the neighbours, just the same as all the galaxies in the universe are moving further away from each other. If we think of that another way, we know that each car is getting further away from the others, so there must have been a point in time previously when they were very close together, at the football match, at the concert, whatever it was. Now, if we know the speed at which each car is travelling, we can work out how long it took to get from the match to where it is now. And the same applies to galaxies. We know how fast they're moving away from us, so we can trace that back in time to work out that they must have been in the same place about 13.7 billion years ago, at the Big Bang. So that's how we know how old the universe is, at least in its current incarnation. But the reason we can only see part of it is that light has only had a finite time to cross the universe. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so we can only see things that's 13.7 billion light years away. Light just hasn't had time to reach us from the rest of the universe.
Very good, thank you. The second question says, I recall as a kid we will always fear that it'll be Betelgeuse or some other red giant that was most likely to go supernova. I wondered if experts on stellar evolution had pet stars they kept an eye on. Which star should be watching? This is from Cass Lieber.
Well, very thankfully, I am an expert in stellar evolution, and we are keeping an eye on several stars. But that's not because we think we're going supernova tomorrow, but because they're doing interesting things. In fact, I'm currently helping out in a project that's observed Betelgeuse with E. Merlin, which Jodrell Bank runs. We're trying to look at the surface of Betelgeuse and see if it's got any features like star spots on it. That's really quite hard, because although Betelgeuse is one of the widest stars as it appears in the sky, it's only 50th of an arc second across, which is a few millionths for the width of the moon. But that's enough of my research. Back to supernovae. Yes, we are expecting Betelgeuse to go supernovae, but it could be any time in the next million years or so. More immediately, Eta Carinae is probably going to go first, but that's only visible from the southern hemisphere. Eta Carinae is a much more massive star, maybe as much as 150 times the mass of the Sun originally, and it could easily become a supernova sooner than Betelgeuse, but still probably not for another few hundred million years. See, the problem is that we don't know what's going on in the middle of the star. The light we see from stars, including the Sun, began as gamma rays inside the star's core, and although they travel at the speed of light, each photon gets bounced around and absorbed, re-radiated many times before they leave the solar surface as the rather less energetic visible light we see. Now, a gamma ray produced in the star's core will take many thousands, even millions of years to find its way to the stellar surface. So the light we see from stars was originally produced way back in prehistory, even if they're close by. Now, this extraordinary time delay means that we won't know if a star is going supernova until it happens to actually blast the star apart from the inside out. But in any case, it wouldn't lose much sleep over it. The chance of either star going supernova in anyone's lifetime is really quite small. Even if they do, they're unlikely to have any major impact on life on Earth. Just think of supernovae as rare, pretty events that you'd be quite fortunate to witness. Supernovae go off in our galaxy roughly every 100 years or so, and maybe one in three of these is close enough to the Earth so that we can see it with the naked eye. So keep looking for them. One day someone's going to find the next one. It's probably going to be an amateur astronomer. but it's probably going to be from some obscure, barely charted star in some far-flung corner of the galaxy, not one of our local friendly supergiants.
Okay. And we have the third question, said, I've just watched a simulation of the merger of the Milky Way and Andromeda in around 5 billion years. I wonder how much longer it will be before the supermassive black holes merge, and what the effects will be when it happens. This is from Philippe Lerich.
Well, in about 5 billion years or so, the Sun will be going through its death throes, and any remaining descendant of humanity will long since have had to jump ship and venture out into the galaxy. So how is the Andromeda galaxy crashing into ours going to affect them? Well, galaxies fall into ours all the time. There are several small galaxies, like the Magellanic Cloud and the Sagittarius Dwarf Galaxy, which are currently being slowly shredded and incorporated into our galaxy as we speak. But it's rare for something the size of Andromeda to crash into us. Andromeda is slightly bigger than the Milky Way. Our galaxy hasn't experienced a collision of that magnitude yet. Now, in everyday terms, not very much will happen when the galaxies collide. The space between stars is very big, and they'll just shoot past each other. The real danger to any life in the galaxy will be the sonic boom. Now, gas in between stars is very tenuous. We all know that in space no one can hear you scream. But when you get as big a smash as a couple of galaxies colliding together, you end up with a pretty loud bang, as two unimaginably large quantities of gas and dust plow into each other at several hundred miles a second. Now, this bang collapses the dust clouds in both galaxies, and that'll trigger the birth of an awful lot of stars, followed a few million years later by an awful lot of supernovae. And that's perhaps not the best time to be around. Now, it'll be a long time before the supermassive black holes merge in the galaxy's centre. Exactly how long that will take depends on exactly how the galaxies collide. We don't really know that very well. The black holes will first start to orbit around each other, and before they merge, they're going to have to lose all that orbital energy, and there's quite a lot of it. Now, this happens in two stages. First, they'll try and shrink their orbits by taking any stars foolish enough to approach them, flinging them out of the merging galaxy. This slows the black holes down through a process we call dynamical friction. But it only works if stars are between the two black holes. Once they've thrown out all the nearby stars, they have to shrink their orbits another way. And they do this by giving off gravitational waves. The process of giving off gravitational waves slowly spirals the orbits in, but that could take many billions, or even trillions or quadrillions of years. And by that time, we've probably got bigger problems to worry about, like the death of all stars, or dark energy's big rip. Now, what will happen if they do merge? Well, eventually they'll be in such a tight orbit they'll be giving off some of the strongest gravitational radiation our galaxy can ever expect to see. But gravitational radiation is really rather weak, and it still wouldn't be noticeable by an average person on Earth. Eventually their shrinking orbits will bring their event horizons into contact, though, and when that happens, it'll be the biggest non-event in galactic history. The event horizon is only the visible edge of the black hole, inside of which nothing can escape. And when the event horizons come into contact, the black holes themselves, the singularities in the centre, still haven't merged. If and when that happens, it will unleash a relativistic nightmare that I don't want to think about. But because all this happens within the event horizon of the merging black hole, if anyone's still around, they won't see a thing.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Ian. And thank you, everyone, for sending questions.